I am Anil Dhawan. I am a program manager here in the Windows Mobile division, and I'm responsible for the wireless experience on our mobile devices. So that includes the Pocket PC and smartphone. And in particular, the technologies I work with are Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and other interesting wireless technologies.
Okay. So are we seeing more adoption of Bluetooth as a technology with developers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are seeing a huge uptake of Bluetooth, especially in the last year, at least in the last year to year and a half, especially with accessory manufacturers. So you see a lot of people having car kits now. You see a lot of people with the cool cyborg-looking Bluetooth headsets. And so all of this is pumped back into us, and we're seeing a lot of interest in people building their own Bluetooth applications to do all sorts of nifty things.
Okay. So that's, I guess, why we're here today, to talk about Bluetooth and application development.
Yep, absolutely.
I guess there's a thought that writing Bluetooth applications is perhaps hard because it's a wireless transport, and maybe you need to deal with a whole bunch of handshaking and that kind of stuff. Is that a true concept or not?
Well, I think it is definitely a misconception overall. I think it depends really on your tool support and the SDK and API support. I know Windows CE and Windows overall provides a very strong foundation for Bluetooth development. And in particular, if a developer knows how to build WinSock programs, there's no reason why they cannot build Bluetooth-based programs. And what I'll be showing later today, it goes one level above that, which is if you know how to open a file, and if you know how to write to a file, to read from a file, you can essentially be a Bluetooth guru overnight. And so it's very powerful. Our APIs are definitely making it a lot easier to develop Bluetooth applications.
Okay, so you mentioned Microsoft's APIs.
Right.
As a developer, do I need to worry about compatibility between the APIs that Microsoft provides and therefore the Bluetooth stack and Bluetooth communications and devices that are not built on Microsoft technologies, like the headsets?
Right. So the good thing about Bluetooth is that it's not just a wireless protocol. I think that's one of the key visions of the Bluetooth organization. It's that it's not just a wireless transport protocol. Instead, it's wireless transport coupled with use cases. And so those use cases are what we call profiles. And so we have Bluetooth SIG, which sits in Europe and is a big standards body for ensuring that Bluetooth compatibility exists across devices. They have a series of profiles that people are more than welcome to support. So one of those profiles you often see is the headset or hands-free profile, which you see in cars, you see in those cool cyborg-looking headsets. So what's guaranteed there is regardless of your implementation of Bluetooth, as long as you adhere to the standard, then your device and any other device that also adheres to the standard should interoperate. Now, should being the operative word. Right. The reality is that Bluetooth actually achieves that to a very, very, very successful degree.
Okay, what about moving outside of these standard profiles? You know, the rare profiles like headsets and hand personal network and so on. If I wanted to build an application that did something outside those profiles, can I do that as well?
Yes, you absolutely could. So there are different layers at which you can tap into the Bluetooth stacks. You can go, from the very basics at the what's called RFCOM, which is the sort of very low-level transport for Bluetooth. Or you can go all the way higher level in terms of using something like PAN, which is essentially running IP over Bluetooth. And so the levels of abstraction are very different. The APIs would obviously be very different depending on the implementation. So what isn't guaranteed is interoperability if you're building your own apps in that sense. But what is guaranteed is that if you build an application that communicates using a serial port, and you write a well-behaved application on the other end that knows how to communicate over the Bluetooth serial port, then those two applications should work well together. So it depends on what the developer is trying to do, and there's definitely certain things that can be done to make one device not operate well with another. But by and large, Bluetooth achieves it fairly successfully.
Okay, so for a sample application that just transmits data between a mobile device and a desktop, or two different mobile devices, that kind of stuff is pretty straightforward.
Absolutely. It's sort of a FIFO queue, is, first in, first out. I write 4 bytes, I get 4 bytes on the other end. You can generalize and make your own packet formats. You can generalize further and make your own message formats. And so as long as the developer is in control on both sides and it's a custom application, there should be very little reason for there to be any lack of interoperability across the two devices, regardless of stack.
So one thing about Windows CE and Windows Mobile, it should be very easy for somebody using Bluetooth implementation and APIs to they can write a game, like a multiplayer game using Bluetooth.
Absolutely, and it's something that we encourage, and we've seen people do all the time. I think we're seeing a lot more renewed interest in Bluetooth simply because a lot of these devices are becoming a lot cheaper and more accessible in the market. And what's great about the Windows Mobile solution is that it's a platform. So you pick up that phone, you can program it. You can take our excellent tools, Visual Studio, Embedded Visual C++, and you can start cranking away. Whether it's managed versus native code, is, you know, it's up to you. Whatever you want to do, you're more than welcome to do on our platform.
Okay. So I guess that raises some questions. Let's say I've got a mobile device that has a Bluetooth game running on it that I've written.
Right.
How do other Bluetooth devices find my device and the service or game that is exposed on that device?
It's a great question. So what happens with Bluetooth is that there's the core radio implementation, and there's also a specification around discovery. So I'm a Bluetooth device and I enter some area and I want to find other Bluetooth devices. I can actually issue a command, kind of broadcast, say, hey, where is everyone? And what happens is everyone responds back saying, hey, I'm here. And so I get a list of people's names, essentially. So your device might be named, you know, my cool smartphone, and my device might be named Vanilla smartphone. And so I'll just listen to the network, and I'll hear that you're actually broadcasting your name to me. And so I'll say, oh, hey, your device is there. I can action on it, and I can query your device to see what sort of services it exposes.
Right.
And so these are called service descriptions. And so in those service descriptors, you can actually specify the name of the servers, what sort of capabilities that service supports. And so in the game case, you'd actually publish a service record that would advertise, hey, I'm, you know, RoboPong 2004, I support the following items, and if you'd like to communicate with me, I listen on this channel, and I need the following things. So what's great about Bluetooth is that it establishes a protocol for discovery, which is not the case for a lot of other wireless protocols. So once we have the discovery going, I can query a device, I know exactly what game you're running, and if I'm running the same game, then I go, hey, well, I can talk to you, because I understand your application layer protocol. And once we do that, we can actually establish a connection. It's called pairing with the two devices. So once our devices are paired, we actually have a logical link. And now my application can talk to your application, and the game can just proceed.
Okay. That also raises another question. So let's say that I have a service that I'm operating on my either smartphone or PC.
Okay.
Let's say it's a game like tic-tac-toe or something like that. And I want it to be secure.
Right.
I don't want just anybody that's got a Bluetooth device connecting to it. Is there any kind of level of security around the service that I provide?
Absolutely. And what's great about Bluetooth is it abstracts away the security aspect as well. So you can definitely do encryption and authentication at the higher layer. So in terms of your application, the way you've written it, your way you've architected it, you can have usernames and passwords, and you might restrict access based on those kind of metrics. But Bluetooth goes one step further and actually encrypts the link layer. And so this is all transparent to your application. But under the hood, what's really happening is when I establish a connection with your device, I enter a PIN code. And that PIN code is usually numeric or alphanumeric based on your device. And you're required to enter the exact same PIN code on your side to establish that, what we call pairing. And so once the pairing process is done, we actually generate a unique random encryption key to encrypt the link. And so now we have an established link wirelessly, and it's encrypted kind of for free as far as your application is concerned. And so that's a great way of, you know, establishing one level of security. And of course, your application can even take it to the next level and authenticate, let's say, against a Windows NT domain or do anything else. You know, it might be RFID-based. You might authenticate based on someone's SIM card. And there are a lot of interesting proposals now using RFID tags to ensure that two devices are communicating, that, yeah, you know, they both know about each other and things like that.
So we've mentioned a number of things here. It's very easy. You can use sockets. You can use abstraction above sockets as a serial layer communication, file-based communication.
Right.
That there is device discovery and services and security. How much of this is exposed through the Microsoft API on desktop and on mobile devices?
So pretty much all of it is open up to developers. You can pretty much tap in at various levels in the stack. So like I mentioned before, there's RFCOM, which is a very low-level area. You can build RFCOM-based applications. Clearly, the API is much more limited just due to the fact that RFCOM is a very bare basic protocol. Then you can go one level above and use a simple profile, like the serial port profile, which gives you the COM port abstraction. So as long as you know how to read and write to a file, you can actually read or write over a Bluetooth link. And so that's another layer on top of that. And then beyond that, Windows in particular provides a WinSock abstraction to all of these things. So WinSock being the dominant networking API used for TCP/IP, you know, IR, and other types of technologies, allows Bluetooth to just fit in quite nicely. And so any developer who's familiar with programming with WinSock, whether it be TCP/IP or any of the other technologies, can easily learn Bluetooth's command set. And it's essentially using the same WinSock APIs with just different flags and with different header file. So the short answer is we give you a lot of flexibility at different layers.
So in terms of programming models on the desktop and on Windows CE and mobile devices, developers have got a number of options. They have native code development, which is Win32 and MFC,
right.
And ATL, if you count that.
Right.
And also they have managed application development through C# and VB.
Right.
So as a developer, am I forced into writing my application using just one of these, or is it completely wide open and I get to choose my favorite language and native or manage?
Yeah, absolutely. We provide essentially everything you would ever want under the sun. We don't necessarily today provide Bluetooth wrappers, but there are open source implementations of those wrappers and all sorts of fun stuff there. We provide essentially managed API access, or sorry, native API access to our core CE stack. And from there, anyone's welcome to build wrappers or any other implementation on top.
Okay. But of course, I guess if we're using files, then using managed code is just...
Absolutely. So if you take the serial port approach, which I will demonstrate shortly, all of this is basically out the window, and as long as you can open a file and write to a file, you're good to go.
Okay, great. Which brings us on to demos. Is there anything else you want to tell us before we step into looking at some demo code?
I would love to encourage developers to just think about Bluetooth and kind of the impact, not just as a wireless technology, but as mobile devices get more ubiquitous in the wild, you'll start to see interesting use cases, and I encourage developers to find those use cases, because what's fun to me might not be fun to you,
right.
But it might be fun to someone halfway around the world.
Do you have any kind of suggestions or ideas where people might start thinking about how they could use Bluetooth?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of interesting cases where, for example, social networking comes into play. How many times have you gone to a restaurant with your buddies and wanted to split the bill?
Right.
And of course, if you're like me, I always end up paying, and I never get paid back. Well, one quick way around that would be to write maybe a simple Bluetooth application that, as long as it runs on my friends' phones, allows us to sort of maybe transmit simple messages like, hey, I owe you $45 now, or, oh, hey, you paid for that, I owe you for this, and just kind of keep track of that. And that's a fun little application.
Okay. Well, before that application gets written, can we go to lunch sometime?
Yeah, absolutely. As long as you're paying.
Right.
No one mind that.
So social networking sounds pretty interesting.
Right.
What is the kind of the range or radius that I would expect to get in terms of communication networking on a Bluetooth enabled device?
That actually really depends on a few factors. Definitely in the environment, the more barriers and abstractions, barriers in place, I guess is the best way to put it, between your device and another device, the range is going to be limited, and it's typical with any wireless technology. So with Bluetooth, we typically see roughly 30 to 100 feet of range, and obviously depends on hardware and power and things like that.
And how long typically does it take for one Bluetooth device to discover another and provide that information back?
Oh, it's on the... few seconds tops. Yeah, it's a very quick, very fast technology, and it's very, very simple. Right? Like I said, the device discovery is such a simple concept that most other wireless technologies don't even have. And that actually brings me to another point, which is, I think one of the key things to realize about Bluetooth as a technology going forward is that there are a lot of other competing things like UWB and Wi-Fi, and people always talk about Bluetooth being dead and all sorts of fun jazz like that. And while we're not here to speculate on the future of Bluetooth necessarily, one thing I can say is that what Bluetooth has been great in doing is coupling the service level APIs and sort of use cases with the wireless link. So tomorrow, if there's a better transport protocol as far as wireless is concerned, you can still use the higher-level Bluetooth services on top of that wireless protocol.
Right.
And I think that is one of the key things to realize about Bluetooth. So if tomorrow you start seeing UWB-based headsets due to maybe increased bandwidth, The Bluetooth itself isn't dead. The radio has just been switched out.
Right.
So the core Bluetooth offering as far as profiles and headset and serial port, those are all still fair game.
Okay.
And that's one of the innovations of Bluetooth. It's very radio agnostic going forward.
So back to the kind of social aspects of using Bluetooth and networking technologies, I guess it would be fairly simple to write an application that runs on my Bluetooth device, or even on my desktop, that warns me when my manager who's carrying a Bluetooth device is getting close.
Absolutely. You could definitely write a lot of interesting applications like that. You just simply listen to your manager's mobile phone advertise itself, and whenever it comes within 100 feet range, you might have
look
a program
busy.
That automatically puts over a picture that makes you look like you're coding, or shuts off that game, or turns off that sound, or whatever it is. And that's definitely a very useful application.
Excellent. I better get writing down one.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's go and look at some code.
Okay, cool. So what I prepared today is a simple demonstration of how we can use Bluetooth to communicate with the desktop. In this case, it's my laptop. And so I'm holding here a Windows mobile device running our Windows mobile software. And so...
So this is a shipping device.
This is a shipping device. So
this is just using Windows Mobile 2003, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Windows Mobile 2003. And this phone supports Bluetooth. And it's showing me all the fun stuff, like I have a meeting at 6 p.m., which I hopefully will get to today. And so... I'll first demo the application, and then we can go in and see how it actually is implemented.
Right.
So the way it works is that I have, in my Bluetooth settings, discovered my laptop. So I go to Menu, and I go to Devices, and you'll see that my AD Notebook is there, along with my Motorola headset. And so I've paired with my laptop on the... sitting on the table here.
Does your laptop natively support Bluetooth, or do you have some kind of USB adapter to
my laptop, as a lot of the laptops are now doing, actually bundles in Bluetooth support.
Right.
And so it's wonderful. It just eases life so much without having to carry on Bluetooth dongle. But Bluetooth dongle is definitely another option in case someone has a legacy implementation. And so...
By legacy, you mean like last year?
Right. Well, this is the tech world after all, so... so here we have our devices listed, and what I've done here is I've paired with the laptop using its serial port service, and the way we can see that is using COM ports. And so I see here on my phone that I'm now talking to my laptop over Bluetooth on COM6, and COM6 is just a port designation on the device, such that any application that wants to write to my desktop, or my laptop in this case, can just open up COM6 and start chugging away.
Right, so it's just a virtual...
It's a virtual serial port. And as you can imagine, this is one end of the pipe. The other end of the pipe is sitting on my laptop, and so we'll get to that later. So now I'll just demo the application and go back to the home screen. I start running my application. Start more button accessories, and I call it remote control.
And so, what did you use to write this application?
I used embedded Visual C++ to write this application. So this application is actually written in native code, but there's actually no reason why this couldn't be written in C# or any other managed language. So I'll launch remote control, and I have a very straightforward UI. And so I now go to the COM port, and I open the port, and it just takes a little bit, and it's now found my laptop. As my laptop now shows. And now the UI does not tell you what to do because the application is very simple. So I will now launch PowerPoint on my desktop here. We'll go right into a presentation. And notice there's no wires. There's absolutely no wires. There's no mat,
Nothing up the
sleeves. In fact, I shouldn't have worn sleeves today just to be extra cautious. But what we can do now is I can simply use the directional pad to navigate through the slide deck.
Can you hold the phone slightly higher up? So
you're getting no wires, and I'm just controlling my desktop using my phone simply by using the directional pad. So I've mapped the keys, so left, right, up, down, to send the same message to the desktop. So just as if you were scrolling along in your desktop implementation, it's the same exact behavior. And so this is beautiful because I could be sitting, like we said, 30 to 100 feet away from my presentation and actually, show off to the audience that, hey, look, I am always on my phone And everyone will be wondering why I'm always carrying my phone around until they see that when my presentation starts, I'm actually doing very cool things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it's one of those things that, you know, it's better than IR because it's not line of sight. It definitely gives you a lot more range.
Yeah.
And it gives you a lot more flexibility. I've written a very simple application here, but surely anyone can write an application to perhaps launch a program or maybe to lock your desktop while you're away,
right,
and all sorts of fun things like that.
That's interesting. So is there a way to detect that my phone is no longer in range or is disconnected? And if it's disconnected, then lock the desktop.
Yeah, that is certainly possible. That's absolutely possible.
Right.
You would just simply poll for whether or not the device is still in range.
Right.
And if it goes out of range, it's a perfect application. As long as your Bluetooth phone is within range, your desktop will remain unlocked. And if once you go home and you're just forgetful like me, it'll just lock itself.
Okay.
And that's a fantastic idea for people to implement.
Great.
So the application is very straightforward. The UI is very basic. And as you can see, it just makes for really, really, really cool demos. So now we'll actually get into how the application is written. And as you can imagine, there are two components. There's a phone or device portion, and there's a desktop portion. So first we'll focus on the device portion. As I mentioned earlier, this is built using embedded Visual C++. And so this is essentially a native code application. And the way it works is it's very straightforward. We have a menu bar at the bottom, which allows us to open the COM port. And what I've done is I've mapped in the COM port into our program. So I've hard-coded it in this case, but certainly one can just probe for that. That shouldn't be a big problem. And in this case, my device will open up COM 6, as I have here. As you can see here, I have a command called open serial port, and it's just going to open up COM 6, and it opens up for writing. So in this case, the phone is just going to be writing bytes to my laptop. And so the way this gets invoked is down here in our handler. We have a WM command, and we have an open port, which is just
a menu handler.
Just a menu handler,
right.
Exactly what you see there. And then from there, the only other logic is handling the key events, the key press events. And so that in Windows and our Win32 API is handled right here with the WM key up message. And what I've done is I've abstracted it. So we call process key. And if we go to process key, we'll see that we're doing something very straightforward. All we're doing is we are checking to see if the key is valid. So I did not want to map certain keys on my phone to do something with the desktop. So for example, I could make the phone call button do something interesting, but in this case I didn't want to. So what I've just done is I've checked to see what I should handle, and if it's something that we should handle, we actually write that key over the serial port, and it will magically appear on the other end of the laptop.
Is there a maximum packet size that I can write when I'm writing to a virtual serial port?
So that's based on buffering and a lot of stack implementation details. One thing we encourage developers to do is always, you know, take the precautions of checking the return size from commands like write file,
yeah,
and check in this case numwritten, which is the number of bytes actually written to the socket or the port. And if that does not equal what was put in, then you must loop around, keep sending until you actually send all the data.
Right.
So the application itself is very simple. Once it's done sending, this will just send the 4 bytes over, and then we'll just exit out back into our message loop to handle other keys.
Okay.
And so it's a very straightforward implementation, and the key value we're sending is essentially the key press code that we got from the Win32 implementation. So a lot of these things, because we're using Windows CE on our device and using Win32 on the desktop, simplify our life because the same messages can actually be used without filtering or parsing very much. So that was the device portion. So now I'll show you my cool desktop portion, which has no UI. It's a very, very, very straightforward application. All this program is doing is, again, I have simple commands like open the serial port, close the serial port. In this case, I am now using a COM port, which my desktop has told me I should use, and so that you can find out using your own Bluetooth implementation. So in this case, I go here, I can double-click on this icon, and I can see my configuration, and I can tell that my local services map the Bluetooth serial port to COM 11. And so in my application, I have actually used COM 11, as you see here, and I'm opening that again just as a file. I'm just using the create file command. And in this case, I'm actually opening it for reading and writing, just to give more flexibility in case one day I wanted to change my application. And so right here, just handler logic to see if we actually are able to open the COM port. And if we are able to open the COM port, then we're successful right here. And so what we do is we just go into a loop. We just read from the COM port, and we read 4 bytes at a time, which is exactly my protocol on my device. My device, every time you push a button, I'm sending 4 bytes over the link. And so those 4 bytes will magically pop out on this side, and I store it into a buffer, and I check the values. And so I have several cases. So if I push the 1 key, which is essentially this one, then I will take some action. Currently, I don't have it mapped to anything. And the other handlers are actually specific to our phone, which is the D-pad. So I noticed that the D-pad sends certain window messages with certain key codes for different events. So if I push right, I get 39. If I push left, I get 37. If I push down, I get 40. If I push up, I get 38. So I just put those values here, and if I receive the value of 38, I now try to send the desktop a virtual key up message. And so what that does is, if I just open the code here, I have a small little helper function here called sendKey. sendKey is very basic. What we're trying to do is we're trying to emulate the pushing of a key, just as if someone on the laptop was sitting right there and pushing down or up or left or right. And the way we emulate that is actually by sending a keyboard event. And so the great thing about using this API is that we now don't have to worry about changing the foreground window or sending a particular window message to a particular application. All we're doing is we're actually telling Win32 that, hey, the keyboard has pushed this key. And Win32 will take care of who gets it and how they handle it. That's all abstracted away from us. So this is actually a very, very, very flexible implementation. And so the key thing to realize here is that every time you push a button, there are actually 2 window messages that get sent. One is the key down, and one is the key up. And you might be wondering why that is. One of the use cases you can find is if I push and hold a key, I want to be able to handle the multiple presses that are happening. So although I'm holding the key once, I actually am able to scroll through the document, and that's something that's very useful. So Win32 provides 2 events, one is the key down and one is key up. And so to emulate, or to simulate, I should say, the key event from the phone, I actually sent 2 window messages. One is the keyboard event, which is virtual key passed in, and this is the 000 specifies that this is the key down message. And then immediately after, I specify the key up message. And so any application, in this case PowerPoint, gets both messages and has no clue as to whether someone on the desktop or laptop pushed the buttons or someone on a phone pushed the buttons. And so this is essentially a very abstract architecture that you can use to send any key. You can even send Alt-Tab or, you know, Windows R to start running an application or do any of that fancy jazz. And so once we sent the key, then we just, again, go back in the loop, and we're just looping and looping until someone closes down our application. So very, very, very straightforward implementation. Again, we're essentially using Bluetooth, but we're abstracted away due to COM ports. And if you notice, nowhere in my code have I even written the word Bluetooth. This is sort of the power and flexibility of our APIs, that you don't even need to know about the internals of RFCOM and all that stuff to write simple applications. Surely you can write very powerful applications using those lower-level APIs as well, but for entry-level developers looking to make really, really simple, really, really cool applications, this is more than enough power than any machine need.
Okay, that is a really, really neat demo.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess people viewing this might want to get that code so they can play around with it themselves.
Absolutely.
Get that published?
Absolutely, yeah. We will definitely work on handing that out to the community. It should not be a problem. And in fact, we'd love for people to write us comments and extend our program and tell us cool use cases and show us how cool, you know, their boss was wowed by a simple little remote control. One interesting application is to install this on a friend's PC, and then you sit in another room and sort of remotely control a PC. Now, we don't promote those types of applications, but they're always fun little demos.
Absolutely.
And after-work activities.
So you hire as
a... Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Someone will always be freaked out that someone's desktop just keeps locking again and again and keeping up to enter password.
Right. Fantastic. So is there anything else you want to tell us about Bluetooth before we go?
I just urge developers to keep Bluetooth on the radar. It's very simple to write very cool applications, and we just encourage feedback from anyone who's writing Bluetooth applications. If there's something that you feel Microsoft could do better at, please, you know, tell us. And if we're doing something great, it's always good to have a pat on the back once in a while.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. Okay.
Thanks so much for your time.
Yep, thank you.